Good morning. Will you turn with me to Romans 1, 16 to 25? Just kidding, Chad. It's Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thanks, Jerry. No thanks. The guy's already sitting there, nervous about coming up here. Let's pray, and then we'll start. Dear God, I'm so thankful for today. I thank you so much for our people here. I thank you so much that we can come here and have great music, and we can sing our loudest and our hardest. And it's awesome. And I thank you that we can read from your word and we can hear your word all over the place. I thank you for people here who are willing to do all of this stuff. But mostly, right, Lord, right now, I ask you to come here into our hearts. Help us to know and understand what you're trying to say to us today. And I pray that your words would be what comes out of my lips. In your name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you believe in miracles or not. Let's hope so. Because we're going through Joshua and there's a lot of them. However, a miracle happened this week. I had the privilege, growing up, to have parents who consistently found the hand of God in daily life. And I think, for the most part, I don't think I do it as much as them, but I do, it just sort of happens for me that I see God's hand in things. And I'm thankful for that. And so I saw God's hand here, a miracle here today. Because this week I went and talked to Darren. You're not over there. Okay, Darren's over here today. Did you take your name tag off that seat? No? No. Okay. This week I talked to Darren, and sometimes I need to run it by somebody. And so I talk about it, and I'm wrestling with something. And so we talked about it, and so I left there. And while I was there, Darren said, oh yeah, Curtis, he wants to sort of know the direction of the service, so he knows what songs to pick. Well, we couldn't make that happen this week, Curtis and I couldn't, so I never ended up talking to Curtis. And then throughout the week, as I studied and prepared, I just wasn't feeling satisfied with the direction that I was going. And even yesterday, I came to Mona at lunch, and I said, I got a whole sermon here prepared, but I don't know. Just something's not right. And it's like, well, the words are right. I wasn't going to preach heresy. Don't worry. But, I wasn't comfortable with preaching that sermon. And so I came back to church here, and I went up to the fireside room, and I, lay down on the couch. And I just started to listen. I just need to listen to Joshua again. And so I started at 1. And I don't know if you ever do this, but do you listen to the Bible? because that's a whole lot different than reading it. Sometimes you just need to press play. And so if you go online, they're everywhere. And I pressed play, and I started listening to Joshua 1. Now, you probably were wondering when Jerry read out of Joshua 1, it's like, I thought we covered this. Well, yes. And so I listened to Joshua 1, and it's like, then I knew exactly what I was going to do. And so I actually had to phone Jerry last night and change the scripture, which is why he tried to do that to me this morning. I think I could have worked it in. It's the Bible. It's all about the same thing, right? So then Curtis and his group come up here and they start singing some songs. Actually, first Darren stood up here and he, like, the sermon's been preached already, just so you know. We've covered it all. We've covered it in the songs, and that was awesome. We've covered it in the three sentences Darren said to start the sermon. It's great. So, thanks very much. Now I'm going to tell you how it fits into Joshua 11, because it's amazing. These words that I heard this morning before the sermon, you are stronger. Christ is enough for me. These are just critical for us, and they were enough for Joshua too. Darren was talking this morning. We can't do it. We just can't. God does it. He does those things. That's my punchline. So at the end, you'll hear me say that again. But let's read in Joshua right now. And we're going to go back to Joshua 10. Last week, I went through Joshua 10, and we talked about the will of God. And Joshua asked God, stop the sun so that we can keep going. And God listened to him and did what he said, and the sun stopped. And it was amazing. And God obeyed or did what Joshua asked him because it was already in God's will that this be done. And so I'm just going to finish on Joshua 10:40, and then we'll move on to chapter 11. So Joshua struck the whole land, the hill country and the Negeb and the lowland and the slopes and all their kings. He left none remaining, but devoted to destruction all that breathed, just as the Lord of Israel commanded. And Joshua struck them down, Kadesh, Barnea, as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen as far as Gibeon. And Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to the camp at Gilgal. Because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And we learned last week that God is fighting for us, because in fighting for Israel, eventually Jesus came and died on the cross for us, and we are saved, and not just Israelites in the promised land. And that's a good thing. Amen? All right, so Joshua 11. I practiced some names this week. Can't guarantee anything. When Jabin, king of Hazor, heard this news, he sent a message to Jobab, king of Madon, the kings of Shimron and Akshaph, practice that one a while, and the kings of the north in the hill country, and Arabah, son of Chinnereth, the Judean foothills, the slopes of Dor to the west, the Canaanites on the east and west, the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Jebusites in the hill country, and the Hivites at the foot of Hermon in the land of Mizpah. They went out with all their armies, a multitude as numerous as the sand on the seashore, along with a vast number of horses and chariots. All these kings joined forces. They came together and camped at the waters of Merom to attack Israel. These kingdoms are the kingdoms that were in the north of the promised land, the area that God was going to give them. The ones that they had defeated in previous to this in chapter 10 and earlier were in the south. And so now their people up north heard all of these things. Verse 1, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard this news, the news that all of these kings had been conquered, that the king of Gibeon had lied to the Israelites and given in. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, for at this time tomorrow I will cause all of them to be killed before Israel. You are to hamstring their horses and burn up their chariots. So Joseph and his whole military force surprised them at the waters of Merom and attacked them. The Lord handed them over to Israel, and they struck them down, pursuing them as far as Great Sidon and Mishrepheth-Maim, and to the east as far as the valley of Mizpah. They struck them down, leaving no survivors. Joshua treated them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots. At that time, Joshua turned back, captured Hazor, and struck down its king with a sword, because Hazor had formerly been the leader of all these kingdoms. They struck down everyone in it with a sword and completely destroyed them. He left no one alive. Then he burned down Hazor. Joshua captured all these kings and their cities and struck them down with a sword. He completely destroyed them. I'm going to stop right there. This next paragraph, I want us to pay attention to how many times he talks about Moses and commands. Here, I'm going to start again. Verse 12. Joshua captured all these kings and their cities and struck them down with the sword. He completely destroyed them as Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded. However, Israel did not burn any of the cities that stood on their mounds except Hazor, which Joshua burned. The Israelites plundered all the spoils and cattle of these cities for themselves, but they struck down every person with the sword until they had annihilated them, leaving no one alive. Just as the Lord had commanded his servant Moses, Moses commanded Joshua. That is what Joshua did, leaving nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So Joshua took all this land, the hill country, all the Negev, all of the land of Goshen, the foothills, the Arabah, the hill country of Israel with its foothills, from Mount Halak, which ascends to Seir as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon at the foot of Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down, putting them to death. Joshua waged war with all these kings for a long time. No city made peace with the Israelites except the Hivites who inhabited Gibeon. All of them were taken in battle. For it was the Lord's intention to harden their hearts so that they would engage Israel in battle, be completely destroyed without mercy, and be annihilated just as the Lord had commanded Moses. At that time, Joshua proceeded to exterminate the Anakim from the hill country, Hebron, Debir, Anab, all the hill country of Judah and of Israel. Joshua completely destroyed them with their cities. No Anakim were left in the land of the Israelites except for some remaining in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. So Joshua took the entire land in keeping with all the Lord had told Moses. Joshua then gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal allotments. After this, the land had rest from war. And so we pause. The reason why I read chapter 1, or I had Jerry read chapter 1, is because that was the start. And now we've reached a point where all of the people in the promised land are gone. The ones that were there before. After this, we have a lot of chapters, and Darren's going to cover a few next week, talking about who gets what and dividing up the land. But right now, Joshua has taken the people, and God has led him, and God does miraculous things, awesome things, and now they're done. It's like the middle. Sort of ends a chapter right there, a chapter of Jewish history where they conquered the promised land. And what God had promised, he had delivered. I don't think we think of the significance that much of this statement. God promised this many years before this. A long time ago, Abraham said, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to give you this land, the land that they were now in. It took a long time, but God was faithful, and God did it. What God promised, God delivered. And then I started to look at Joshua a bit. Why could Joshua be so confident as to lead these people to do so much? What gave him that confidence? Because I look at it and say, I want that confidence too. He did great things. He did amazing things. God said to him at the start, he says, I'm going to make your name great. Who doesn't want to be great, right? He said these things, and Joshua was faithful. Were there blips along the way? Yeah, there were blips along the way where they didn't ask God about things. But when God said, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous, I want you to do this, Joshua said, yep, let's go, let's do this. In fact, before the book of Joshua, we get to the 12 spies that went into Canaan with the first group of Israelites who had wandered in the desert. And they came there, and Joshua and Caleb went in with everyone else. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? So the 2 came back. Joshua and Caleb came back. And you know what Joshua and Caleb said? We can do this. Why did they say that? There's God there. They were confident in that right through. How do these stay so confident? It's throughout the whole book. I don't know if anybody else has been watching the Olympics. Anybody been watching any Olympics this week? Some people, yes, okay. A beautiful week outside and we're all sitting inside watching the Olympics. I like watching interviews, okay. So the interview starts and they say, the swimmer, let's say, because there have been a lot of swimmers this week. So the swimmer says, I woke up this morning. I knew I was going to do this. I just had confidence and I felt good, right? And I'm just going to nail this. And I knew it. And it's like everything was just, it was great. Or team sports, maybe it's rugby or maybe it's soccer. It's like, we had the gas in us the whole time. We had it. We're just going. We're on fire. Sometimes I wonder about the interviewing the people who lost. Let's call them losers. It's not very nice, but the people who lost, right? Okay. So what would the interview be there? Yeah, I woke up this morning. We weren't going to win. You think you hear them say that? No, you don't hear them say that. Everybody's like, I can do this. I can do this. Who's this guy? I can't remember his name. He's a Canadian sprinter. He's 100 meters. He's pretty good. Just sort of come onto the scene of sprinting. I don't know. Is there a sprinter scene? I'm not sure. But he sort of came onto the scene. And he says, I think I can take this race. Well, there's Bolt. He's been there running like really fast forever, right? And he's just fast. I think I can take him. Everybody, every athlete wakes up thinking, I can take him. I can do this. I got this. I got this. Every athlete. Why are they so confident? Well, they probably are eating right. They're probably exercising every day. They probably develop their skills. Swimmers just don't jump in the water and start swinging their arms, right? There's skills that they have. And so they're confident. They've done this. They got this. And they're standing all, they're going like this. I don't know why swimmers do that, but they're standing ready, right? And they dive in and they, I got this. I got this. And you want them to got this. You want that to happen. This spring, I took a group of about 20 archers to Weyburn and to our provincial competition. And it was awesome. And there was some confidence there. But sometimes, you shoot an arrow and that wasn't a good one. And there happened to be that little girl in grade 4. She just shot 3 bullseyes and you're like, what? Am I doing wrong here, right? But you're confident, and you want to be confident. And I want my students to be confident. I want them to say, I got this. I got this. However, in our world, that's our main problem, is that I got this. Because we do. I mean, we look at the things we do. When Mona and I got married, and about a month before that, back a long time ago, 1993, I started working as a mechanic. And so as I did that, I was going through apprenticeship and becoming a journeyman. So I did that. And then my body started to fall apart. And so it's like, I got to do something different. Changed things. And then I went away to school and I could go to school for a year, I found out, and then become a teacher. So I did that. And then over the next 8 years, I did one class at a time, trying to get my degree, and eventually did. It was a lot of work. I wouldn't have done it unless Mona said, yeah, you are taking another class. Giddy up. And so I did this. I did it. And I kept going. And I graduated. That was a good day. And I said, I'm not much for one for graduations or ceremony. Mona says, you're going. I want the picture. So we went. We got the picture. But I got this. You know, you try hard and you work hard. And that's what I want for my kids. And that's what I want for my students. That's what I want for you. Work hard. But we get into this mentality that everything in our world is, we got this. I got this. I don't know if you've ever heard this at home. If you have teenagers, I'm not sure what it's like with boys. I don't remember. But with girls, this is all I have, so this is all I know. I hear this sometimes. I got it, Mom. Anybody heard that one before? Mom. Or, and leaning it, Mom, I got it. I've heard that one before several times, actually in the last couple weeks, right? I got it. She's got it. Oh, well then, we'll just step back and let your 14 years of experience just have at her here. And I like giving people the chance to try and fail. I really do. I enjoy that. And they fail, and they make mistakes, and they come back stronger, and then they figure out how to do it. But there's just this idea, I got it, Mom, I got it. There are two people here in this story, Jabin and Joshua. Joshua never said, I got it. He said, let's go. Jabin says, I got it. What did Jabin have? He had a vast army. He had huge, it was like covered the countryside. I'm sure the Israelites went and looked and it's like, I can't see ground because there's so many people here. And then they had horses and chariots. They say, yeah, everybody had horses and chariots. No. I'm sure the Israelites were sitting there on a camel thinking, man, that looks a lot smoother than what I got to ride over here. And so they looked out, the Israelites. I'm sure Joshua looked out and saw this vast army. And God said, what? Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. You can do this. Do this. And Joshua said what? Let's go. Why? But why? Now Jabin, he was like, I got this. We got this. I mean, look at this. He had heard the same stories. He had heard these things. He knew all of this. If we go back to the first verse, he had heard all the things that had happened. He'd heard about the Red Sea. He'd heard crossing the Red Sea, crossing the Jordan. He'd heard about the walls of Jericho falling down. It wasn't news. This isn't a large area. We think Saskatchewan, like Saskatoon to Swift Current, that's about as big as it is. So they knew. People knew what had happened. And yet, I got this, Jabin says. I can do this. And Joshua? No. Joshua didn't have it. He didn't have to. Psalm 62 is where I'm going to read from next. Psalm 62 is a psalm of David. And you're never sure, not in many of the psalms, where exactly what David was going through when he wrote these psalms. But you can get some information from them. And you can tell right now that he's in a bit of distress because he's under attack of some kind from someone. And so let's read this. David says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate, now he's going to talk about like us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Back up to verse 9. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. The author does this for a reason. To say, here's the vast spectrum of people. People who have no position and all the position. What he's talking about is everyone. At the high and the low and everyone in between. In the balances, they go up, and they are together, lighter than a breath. Verse 11, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love. Whew, I get goosebumps on that verse. I'm going to read it again. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for I will render man according to his work. Oh, the power belongs to God. Why did Joshua have the confidence to lead the people? Because God is who he is. It's that simple. Because God is who he says he is, Joshua can say, all right then, let's go. Because God is who he says he is, Joshua can say, see you later. He could have walked out of his house, tent, said see you later to his wife, and he knew he was coming back because God said he would. Because God is who he is, Joshua doesn't have to hesitate. He doesn't have to at all. And how did Joshua know this? He'd seen it happen. His eyes were open to the miracles of God for so long. And he was confident. Now Jabin, the king of Hazor, he'd heard about all this too. But he chose a different path. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward, to the great sea toward going down the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. We heard that in chapter 11. And God gave the commandments to Moses, and Moses told them to Joshua, and Joshua did what God had said. Do not turn from the right hand to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound like the psalm that Darren read? There's so many great things in there. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that's good for Joshua. But you and I aren't Joshua, and we aren't living in that time. We're living now, at this time. What does that mean now? Does that mean that I can be confident to walk out of my house and say goodbye to my family? I know that I'm coming back. That's not what we're talking about here. God promised the Israelites that if they obeyed him, all of their earthly desires would be fulfilled. When Jesus came, if you look in the book of Mark in the first chapter, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The people at that time, when Jesus was there, thought Jesus was going to be what? They figured he was going to be like Joshua again. And he was going to lead the people. And he was going to take these people and conquer the Romans. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. That's not the kingdom he was talking about. We need to put ourselves in the position of the Israelites. Not we're in their promised land right now, but when they're in the desert. Because in many ways, right now, the promised land is coming. The promised land is heaven. The promised land is eternity. Right now, we're just wandering around the desert. The kingdom we long for is not one of this earth, but the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself said, it's going to be tough. He had a long talk with the disciples before he died on the cross, shortly before that, and he visited with them, and he says, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And you and I know it is hard. There are difficult days. Days where we look at Joshua and say, well, that was easy. He saw all those miracles. Simple. But Jesus said something else to the disciples too. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you a helper. And he's going to come and he's going to help you be what? Strong. And he's going to help you be courageous. And that's the Holy Spirit. And because God is still who he is, God didn't change. God's the same God now as he was in Joshua's time. Because he is who he says he is, I can say to you, be strong and courageous today in your world. But Chad, you say, I'm in pain all the time. It hurts all the time, and it doesn't go away. Be strong, courageous. But Chad, you say, I miss him. He was my husband. And now he's gone. I tell you, be strong, courageous. The Holy Spirit is there. But Chad, you say, it gets so dark sometimes. Sometimes I just can't even get out of bed because I'm just so, I can't explain it. Be strong and courageous. The promised land is coming. But Chad, I know my neighbor needs to hear about Jesus. But I'm scared to go talk to him. What do I say? I have nothing in common. Be strong and courageous. I remember going to Saskatoon with a couple of the youth, with Hart and with April and Jana to SOAR. And I don't know if they remember the trip up, but I remember going there and I had, well, Hart, he was pretty bold, but the girls, they were scared. What are we going to do? We might have to talk to somebody. And that's a trick. And so I can't remember what movie it was we were watching, but I just remember it, and it was, we just need 20 seconds of courage. Just get me in the door and say the first words. Be strong and courageous. Chad, you say, I feel God nudging me to lead a life group, but I really don't, I don't know what I'm doing. I just read my Bible a little bit here and there, or maybe I don't, but I feel God telling me, nudging me that I need to do that. Be strong, be courageous, just do it. God is faithful. He will do it. He will. I can attest to that. He does it in my life every day. More than I know. But Chad, you say, I know I should forgive, fill in the blank, my father, my mother. We all have problems with our parents, right? I know I should forgive that guy, business partner, who just took all my money and ran. I know I should forgive my ex-wife. I know I should forgive all these things. I know I should. But I just don't think I can. Be strong. Be courageous. There are some things in the Bible we don't have to guess what God's will is. God says, forgive. Done. We don't have to ask that. God, should I forgive this person? The answer is already yes. Done. So you should be asking, God, help me to forgive this person. Corrie ten Boom. Was in Germany, World War II. Her and her family helped save Jewish people and people that the Nazis were trying to kill. And she came to a place where she was arrested, her and her sister, and her sister died in prison, and her family was very dear to her. And there was this one prison guard that had come and been part of the death of her sister, and she hated him. She did not like him at all. And then, years later, the war was over, and she's speaking her story in Germany. And this guy comes forward, and it's this jailer. And her story is awesome. And she said, she turned from him. In her mind, she turned from him and said to God, I can't forgive this man. I can't forgive this man. And she said, I turned back and I took his hand and I said, welcome to the family of God. I forgive you. This is the power that Joshua had. And this is the same power that you and I have too. The same power. And it's awesome. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is God always going to say yes to taking the pain away? No. But there is a place that's coming. A place where there is no pain. A place that we long for. A place where people here in the last year or so have gone to and we can look to. And you know what they're saying? It is awesome. It is good. And God says, be strong. Be courageous. I am the same God that parted the waters. I'm the same God. I can change your heart. I can do this. And it's going to be hard. I don't promise it'll be easy, but God will be with you. Amen. I think we're going to do communion now, right? Thanks.
Serving in communion, please. And read a couple verses.